common to nearly all Maya cities was a ball court. Probably the game was similar to modern-day volleyball. It was a two-court game played over a central dividing line, and it was played for both religious and recreational reasons. We know from the decorations on contemporary pottery that the players wore heavy padding to prevent them from being bruised by the solid rubber ball. There were two objectives to this particular game. The first was to get the ball through a stone circle turned on its side and set high on a wall. This was a pretty rare event, which is not surprising when the players were not allowed to touch the ball with their hands or feet. The second objective was to keep the ball in play, as most points were gained when the ball went dead. The Aztecs absorbed into their own culture two important gods from earlier peoples, Tlaloc, the god of rain, and the plumed, feathered serpent god called Quetzalcoatl, who amazingly did not demand unending human sacrifice. As Quetzalcoatl was the god of agriculture, education, painting, and music, it was enough to sacrifice butterflies and snakes and birds to him. People also offered him jade, incense, and tortillas. The land the Maya inhabited was dry and scrubby in its northern reaches, and mountainous in the south. But much of it, where not converted into farmland, was still covered by rainforest. The impact that the forests had on Mayan art is evident in the frequency with which jungle animals, such as monkeys and parrots, appear on Mayan artifacts. Many of the Mayan kings are known to us from carved stone slabs or stelae that they set up in the middle of their cities. These stone trees were erected to chronicle and to commemorate events in the lives of the ruler. Events such as birth, accession, marriage, and death are all recorded. These stones also recorded wars, conquests, and royal visits, as well as major ritual occasions such as bloodletting ceremonies. Carvings show these bloodletting ceremonies taking place. One shows Lady Shock, wife of King Shield Jaguar of Yaxchilan, performing such an act. Her husband can be seen standing over her kneeling form, while she pulls a rope with thorns entwined in it through her tongue. It would appear that pain was embraced rather than minimized, and was an integral part of these ceremonies. In the next panel, Lady Shock burns the blood, and the plumes of smoke turn into a giant serpent. From the mouth of the snake comes a long-dead ancestor, a Maya king, in his immortal form. The Mayans believed that their kings mediated with the gods through such ceremonies.
The Mayan king was very much a head of state. He was the government. He controlled almost everything that went on. But in a symbolic sort of way, he was also the embodiment of the state. They were conscious of their ancestry and the way that they were the product of generation after generation of the same royal house. And more often than not, this ancestry was traced back to some divine figure or some deified ancestor, so that the right of the ruler to rule partly depended on his long dynastic links and his bloodline, but partly on the authority that comes from divine ancestry.
Many artifacts found on Maya sites are associated with the kings. Jade ornaments depict the ceremony in which the king is consecrated as ruler. A jade mask found in Palenque was found placed on the face of the dead king Pakal. Jade, which was the most precious material that the Maya knew. The Jaguar god was the god of war, and many of the items which have been found bear depictions of warfare, or reflect in other ways the martial activities of the kings. Kings are shown preparing for battle, and they're dressed in such a way so as to strike fear in the hearts of their enemies. As with the Aztecs, the object of warfare was not to kill the enemy, but to capture as many as possible. Honor was due to warriors who captured the most prisoners. One of the most interesting aspects of Mayan artifacts is the insight they give into how the Maya looked. We know from their sculptures that sloping foreheads were a desirable feature. Infants had their heads bound while the skull bones were still malleable, and the sloping forehead would develop as the child grew. It evidently did not harm the brain. The Maya also filed their teeth to sharp points and built up the bridges of their noses with clay. The Maya are really set apart from other Mesoamericans in that they developed a form of writing that could accurately represent all the sounds of their language. Other peoples, such as the Aztecs, used picture writing to record names, dates, and important events, but only the Maya were able to write more or less as we do.
The language of the ancient Maya was the only version of the languages spoken today. These people were writing in Maya, and unlike the rest of the Mesoamericans, they were able to write syllable for syllable the entire sound range of the language. Each hieroglyph represented a syllable. So the Maya could transcribe into written symbols anything they could say, and then could read back exactly the same word.
Maya writing can be seen in books, on pottery, on walls, and carved on jewelry and stone. Much of the Mayan writing was to do with time, and it's still possible to see their complicated calendars. But only four books have been found, and these are all religious guides. The books are painted onto paper made from fig tree bark. The long painted strips were then folded like a fan or a concertina. The Aztecs had similar books, which today are called codices, and although they produced thousands, only a few survived, many being destroyed by the Spanish. The first great period of Mayan civilization lasted from 300 to 900 AD, and was over before the Aztecs arrived in Central America. We still have no certain knowledge of why that particular civilization suddenly and mysteriously collapsed. It was most probably a combination of factors, such as population growth, pressure on resources, overexploitation of the land, or even foreign invasion. The great cities were mainly abandoned. Although the Maya continued to flourish in North Yucatan and the east coast of the peninsula, as well as the Guatemalan highlands.
Conventionally, the great period of classic Maya civilization is over by 900 or 1200 AD, depending on how you regard it. But the later Maya, the so-called post-classic Maya, lived through the conquest, which made them contemporary with the Aztecs in the highlands. And as the Aztec Empire expanded from the basin of Mexico further and further into the lowlands, eventually the Aztec world came up against the Maya world.
At the age of 23, he crossed the Alps with elephants of war.